Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Robert Coconese. I welcome you into this community of hope and transcendence. Here we seek wisdom beyond our own experience. Here we open our loving minds to the mystery of wonder and moral imagination. Here we transcend the day-to-day of our lives to seek for truths, both meaningful and sustaining. Here we seek to offer a loving message that provides wholeness in a broken world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of those visitor's cards found in the back of your gray hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad you're here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. Today we have a nursery for infants and children aged 5 and under through those doors to the left in the first room past the foyer. At the front here, we have a spirit table which includes activities for all ages. You are invited to go to the spirit table at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. Children and youth are encouraged to attend religious education programs when we sing and bless our children and youth later in the service. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. Today we have two announcements. And the first announcement is from Mary Johnson, who keeps an eye on things in the UUA. So this announcement is about the election of a new president for the Unitarian Universalist Association. At this meeting in New Orleans this weekend, the UUA elected Reverend Susan Frederick Gray as its 9th president. She is the first woman elected to lead the association, which includes approximately 1,000 congregations with 200,000 adults and children in the United States. This is a defining moment, and the stakes are very high, Frederick Gray told the assembly. We have deep work to do within our association and our tradition, and critical work to do beyond the association. Throughout her campaign, which she launched in March 2016, Frederick Gray championed the UUA as a voice for love and justice. She promoted a three-point vision of spiritually vital movement, grounded in relationships and organized for impact. We have much work to do, she told the assembly. I believe we are up to it. I look forward to working with you on this transformative path ahead. Frederick Gray has served as a lead minister of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Phoenix, Arizona, since 2008. She will be installed as UUA president this afternoon. In the instant runoff election, in which 3,252 delegates cast ballots, Frederick Gray received 40% of the vote in the first round, to 33% for Reverend Gene Popke and 28% for Reverend Ellison Miller. By the rules of the instant runoff, Miller was eliminated as the third place finisher. When second place votes were apportioned, Frederick Gray finished with 57% to Popke's 43%. Reverend Frederick Gray grew up in the St. Louis area and attended Elliott Unitarian Chapel in Kirkwood. Second announcement is also from Mary Johnson, and this is about the result of the personal care item distribution. 66 adults came to our church yesterday to get needed personal care items. We gave out 140 rolls of toilet paper, 42 bottles of laundry detergent, 26 bars of soap, and almost all of our supply of other items that folks can't get through the government's SNAP program, such as shampoo, deodorant, toothpaste, and the like. Our shelves are looking pretty bare right now, and as we head toward our July 22nd distribution day, we are going to need a lot of support from church members and friends to restock our supplies. I have a gentle reminder here. Please silence your cell phones and do not sit in the three pews marked fragrance-free. If you use any personal care items or detergents that have fragrance in them.
I wanted to announce too, Paula took the youth group to see Shakespeare in the Park yesterday and they had a really good time, so it was nice to hear about that. I like hearing all the activities going on. We begin our worship now with a prelude by our lovely accompanist Nicole Robbins.
Light our chalice, and I now invite Groovis to light our chalice as we join in our unison words for the chalice lighting printed in your orders of service and projected above. We gather this hour as people of faith with joys and sorrows,
gifts
and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning.
Celebration of this life we share together.
Great job. That's cool.
We begin our service today with words from May Sarton. Help us be the always hopeful gardeners of the Spirit, who know that without darkness, nothing comes to birth, as without light, nothing flowers. I invite you now to rise in body and spirit and join in our opening hymn, number 118, This Little Light of Mine, in the Gray Hymnal.
I like it. So now we come to the time for all ages. Grubus is going to help me with this one. So I'm just going to do some Shel Silverstein poems. I just thought that would be fun. If you are a dreamer, come in. If you are a dreamer, a wisher, a liar, a hoper, a prayer, a magic bean buyer. If you're a pretender, come sit by my fire. For we have some flax, golden tales to spin. Come in, come in.
Is this a poem?
Yeah, you do yours. Okay.
Can somebody lend me 2 80-pound rats? I want to get rid of my house full of cats.
Agatha Fry, she made a pie, and Christopher John helped bake it. Christopher John, he mowed the lawn, and Agatha Fry helped rake it. Zachary Zug took out the rug, and Jennifer Joy helped shake it. And Jennifer Joy, she made a toy, and Zachary Zug helped break it. And some kind of help is the kind of help that helping's all about. And some kind of help is the kind of help we can all do without. We have so many favorites. He's like, which one should you pick? Hug of War. I will not play at tug of war. I'd rather play at hug of war, where everyone hugs instead of tugs, where everyone giggles and rolls on the rug, where everyone kisses and everyone grins and everyone cuddles and everyone wins. So if you wonder, that's the world I'd like to live in. I'm rainbows and unicorns, so. Teddy said it was a hat, so I put it on. Now Daddy's wondering where the toilet plunger's gone. Now let's sing our children to their classes. The words are projected above, and the words and music are printed on cards in the hymnal racks.
Spiritual lives are filled up, our hearts are warmed by the giving of time, talents, love, comfort, and our many other human resources. We each receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. How does the financial contribution you make here reflect what you receive? How does our collective money transform those within and beyond our congregation's walls? This morning's offering will be most sincerely and gratefully received. May it be lovingly given. Please join in reciting the offering blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. For things on our hearts that we hold in silence, we recognize them by taking a stone or stones from the bowls as we enter or from the bowl here on the chancel. We allow the stones to bring us into awareness of those things most important in our life through thought or meditation. We then place them in the cleansing waters of this community, which includes a little bit of water collected from our annual water communion. If you have a joy, sorrow, celebration, or struggle you wish to recognize, you are invited to come forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow.
Spirit of love, at play within, between, and beyond us. Weave our hearts together where they have been injured. Strengthen us in the places once broken, that we might serve the world from the wisdom of scars. Help us learn what gifts we might find in our suffering, that nothing, not even our least favorite times, would ever go to waste in this life. Now, come let us breathe together. We're going to take this time to do a short exercise. I recently took a class with Max Strom, who wrote a book called A Life Worth Breathing. He also wrote a book called There's No App for Happiness. Very inspirational guy. He's a yoga teacher and facilitator of corporate trainings for wellness. And so he came into town last weekend and taught us some really cool breathing techniques. I do a lot of massage work where I'm working on the side of the body. And if you're into energy at all, they say that the front of your body is the future, the back of your body is the past, and the side of your body is the present moment. So a lot of times people are hung up either worrying about the future, stewing over the past. I heard a great quote this week that said, forgiveness is letting go of the hope that you can change your past. And I thought that was really appropriate for what I was going through too, so I wanted to share that today. He led us through several breathing techniques, one of them being a movement one of them being a sitting, a meditation kind of thing. We're going to do one today. It's kind of the easiest one, and it again talks about the present moment. So if you have room and you can put your hands on your side ribs, and we're talking about, I know the pews are in the way, it's very awkward, but do your best. The reason you're doing the hands here, we're going to take them down in just a minute, is the biofeedback of making sure your ribs are expanding. Because if you think about, your diaphragm is a muscle at the bottom of your rib cage, and it contracts and opens up so that your lungs can fill with air. So you've heard the belly breathing thing. Well, this is the side ribs. So as you breathe in, I want you to think about breathing out first, getting out all that stagnant, you know, carbon dioxide junk in there. So breathe out with me like you're fogging a mirror. Now see if you can make that noise with your mouth open, breathing back in. We're going to do it together a couple times. So are you feeling your side ribs? Are you feeling those muscles stretch? So you can put your hands down if you feel like you've got the side rib breath. So let's do a couple more together. Oh, that's nice hearing that. Let's do a few more. And of course, you can do it as a guided thing. But if you do, I do it, I've told my son, I was like, this is my new thing when I get frustrated with you. They talk a lot in yoga. I'm doing the yoga teacher training right now, and they talk a lot about making a pause between things. So before you react, before your feelings can make your amygdala go crazy, and then cortisol's rushing through your body, and you're making choices, and you're, you know, it's like before you can do that, the pause. So the breath practice helps with pausing. You may all have a breath practice already, but I'm just really into it right now, so I thought I would share it. So along with that, I also am learning about chanting. I'm a big fan of chanting, so I'd really like to do about five of those side breaths, and then after five, we're going to just say Om together, just one time. And so I know it's weird to say things out loud in a group sometimes, but you guys have good practice. So don't be afraid. I really want to hear you, and we're just going to do it once. So say it like you mean it. And you know I'm going to be loud, so you're not going to be louder than me, so it'll be fine. So let's do about five of those breaths. You don't have to put your hands there, but if you want to, you can. So go ahead and breathe in, your mouth open. You're sounding like the ocean. Last one. And breathe out. Om. Let's do it one more time. Breathe in and see Om on the exhale. Om. Now that's nice. That's a short service. We're done. I'm just kidding. Please rise if your bodies and spirits allow in joining and singing my favorite hymn in the UU Gray Hymnal, 123, Spirit of Life.
Spirit.
Our reading this morning comes to us from Rumi, the guest house. This being human is a guest house, every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house, empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has sent as a guide from beyond.
Good morning, my fellow seekers. I'm honored to be in the pulpit again sharing with you this space today. I want to give a nod to our fellow UUs out at Pride today. It's Pride weekend, all this weekend, and of course our delegates to the GA having a blast, so lots of cool stuff going on. I'm Casey Combs-Luker, self-identified mystic here at First UU. I've been a member for about 3 years, and I'm enjoying this transition in our church's history. I'm grateful to be a part of it, and to be here to sing and breathe and sit in silence with you all. I'm grateful you are here as well. I'm here for your quarterly reminder that you have dignity and worth, that your special gifts are valuable, and that taking care of yourself is a number one way to increase your resilience. Resilience is defined as the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties or a toughness. As I look at the second definition, I think we're not slinkies and we're not Play-Doh, because when things happen to us, sometimes our shape doesn't go back to the way it was before. We are changed and we grow. So we'll just kibosh the second one and focus on the first. I started this sermon a while ago, and the breathing thing was the main key, but as I sat with this poem and I Googled resilience, you know, we live in the information now world, I'm thankful for that, I found a really great article that actually paired really well with this poem, so it kind of shifted focus in the middle of the night. So we did a breath exercise together. I do believe breath is valuable. I will be up here again talking about it again. But today we're going to talk about this Rumi poem, and we're going to break it down and compare it to resilience, how this poem that we just heard is a poem about resilience. Heavy on my heart today are issues we face each day. Crisis around the globe, crisis in our country, crisis in our cities, crisis in our inner circles. How do we stay engaged with all these parts of our lives and always take time to take care of ourselves? I believe this Rumi poem speaks to resilience, which we desperately need at this time in history. I found an article written to give you 10 ways to boost your emotional resilience, and when I first saw it, I thought, yeah, I'll look at it. You know, kind of, I wasn't sure. Time Magazine, a little more credible. And this article is based on a book by Dr. Stephen Southwick and Dennis Charney entitled Resilience, The Science of Mastering Life's Greatest Challenges. And I was researching this poem and the article popped up and I thought I'll give it a look. And the more I read it, the more I'm like, these 10 things are the lines in this poem. So we're gonna do that today. We're gonna talk about how they connect, how it matches up with the guest house. So let's do it line by line. This being human is a guest house. Now in the article, if you were to Google it, the top 10 things are not in this order. But as I read it, I rearranged them so that it would go in the order. So it's not, one is not more important than another. It doesn't matter about numbers, but I just put them in this order. This being human is a guest house. One of the top 10 things for emotional resilience is maintaining physical fitness. Doctors Southwick and Charney saw that the most resilient people had good exercise habits that kept their bodies as well as their minds strong. Next line, every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes. And then of course one of my favorites, be optimistic. Yes, looking on the bright side keeps you going. But what's more interesting is we're not talking about Pollyanna, rose-colored glasses. We're talking about truly resilient people need to survive the harshest situations and still accomplish goals. They balance an outlook with a realistic view of life. So, in comparison to pessimists, realistic optimists pay close attention to the negative information that is relevant to the problems they face. However, unlike pessimists, they do not remain focused on the negative. They disengage rapidly from the problems that appear to be unsolvable and know when to cut their losses, turning their attention to problems they believe they can solve. Now, for me, I feel like that's wisdom. You know when to cut and run. You know, I've had several experiences where I'm like, I stayed maybe a little bit too long, thinking it was being resilient, but it was depleting me. So it's about that balance and not just being Pollyanna. Next line, as an unexpected visitor, welcome and entertain them all. Another of the top 10 is get social support. Even if you're not part of a religion or community, friends and loved ones are key when life gets hard. Our brains need social support to function optimally. Connection with others releases oxytocin in your brain, and oxytocin helps clear your mind and reduce stress. Oxytocin's actions in reducing amygdala activation and arousal may also help explain why positive support from others can reduce stress. And the solution isn't just giving help from others, it's giving help. So we're doing pretty good so far, right? Are you checking these off? Even if there are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Next, face your fears. Neuroscience says that only one real way to deal with your fear is you need to face it head on. When we avoid scary things, we become more frightened. When you face your fears, they become less frightening. Part of this study was done with like special ops military people, so they've interviewed a lot of these special forces. So what do special force soldiers think when facing the most terrifying situations? What do you think they're thinking? I'm scared, but I could learn from this. Or this is a test that's going to make me stronger. Next line, still treat each guest honorably. Number 5 on the list of 10 is have a moral compass. Southwick and Charney found that many resilient individuals possessed a keen sense of right and wrong that strengthened them during periods of extreme stress and afterwards as they adjusted to life following trauma. A common pillar amongst the resilient is selflessness, concern for the welfare of others, and giving to others with no expectation of benefit to themselves. You guys are doing a great job. Next line, he may be clearing you out for some new delight, the dark thought, the shame, and the malice. Keep your brain strong is number 6. Resilient people are very lifelong learners. They keep growing their mind, learning to learn, and adapting to the new information about the world. Next line, meet them at the door laughing. That's the one that gets you, right? Like, how are you supposed to confront these horrible things that have happened? I'm sure you can all think of at least 10 in your life that have happened. How can you really laugh at those things? Be cognitively flexible. Number 7. All of us have one way we typically cope with difficulty. But what sets resilient people apart is that they use a number of ways to deal with stressful situations. Now, this was a big deal for me. I'm like, you mean cake can't solve all this? I can't just eat 7 cakes? No, it's telling me eat a cake and go for a walk and do some breathing. I thought it was really cool to think of, like, not just one coping, but multiples. Take the burden off each one. People who are resilient tend to be flexible in the way they think about challenges and flexible in the way they react emotionally to stress. They are not wedded to a specific style of coping. Instead, they shift from one coping strategy to another, depending on the circumstances. Now, what's a good coping style that definitely works? Can you think of one? Anybody? Does anybody have one? Other than cake? No? Knitting, yes, awesome. Handicrafts. Being creative is very important. Well, Southwick and Charney spoke to a number of elite military operators and heard the same thing over and over again. What do you think they said? How do you cope? Be tough? No. Ignore it? No. They all mentioned humor. Awesome. So here's a little humor for you in mid-sermon. If you're a bird, be an early bird to get the worm for your breakfast plate. And if you're a bird, be an early, early bird. But if you're a worm, sleep late. Meet them at the door laughing. Ha! Invite them in. Invite them in, I think, goes along with number 8, practicing spirituality. I just imagine this big table to invite them in, which makes me think about the quote about having a table, make it bigger, you know, inviting more in. And that's kind of how we roll, you. You know, we invite them all. Let them all in. The number one thing that researchers found when studying people who overcame tragedy was a spiritual practice. Much of the strength from religious activity comes from being a part of a community. The relationship between resilience and religion may partly be explained by the social quality of religious attendance. The word religion comes from the Latin meaning to bind. People who regularly attend religious services may have a deeper access and broader form of social support than is often available in a secular setting. Be grateful for whoever comes. Number 9 is have resilient role models. All the resilient individuals interviewed for the book by Southwick and Charney had role models whose beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors inspire them. So I'd like to take this minute to say thank you, because a lot of you are my mentors and my resilient role models, and I'm very grateful for that. The next line would be, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. And number 10 would be, find meaning in what you do. Resilient people don't have jobs, they have callings. They have a mission and purpose in life that gives meaning to the things they do. So when times are hard, they feel a greater purpose is behind them, pushing them forward. It's the simple things, every day, each moment, what does it have to bring? And tomorrow we start all over again. I implore you, dear friends, to leave some of your pain and sorrow and suffering in this space today. Let it be cleared. The world needs you at your best. We need you representing all 7 principles the best you can. You are the mentors, you are the role models the world is looking for. Thank you for all those in this space, past, present, and future. I'm grateful to be here, and I hope you feel the grace this place has to offer. Please join me in our final hymn. I invite you to rise in body and spirit and join in singing 'Tis a Gift to Be Simple, number 16 in your gray hymnal. Seated. Please join in our unison words for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth,
the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment.
These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Let us go forth from this place refreshed in spirit, deepened in our conviction, inspired by our compassion to love and serve the world and its people, looking at the world a little differently. The service begins when the service ends. Go in peace.